Mythos Arkham Horror Masterclass Vol. I the world beneath the world. Margot here. The cabinet is open, the lights are low, and the details matter. Arkham Horror endures because it turns discovery into a physical system. A clue is understanding. Doom is time. A location is a boundary of perception. Damage threatens the body. Horror threatens the investigator who must keep interpreting what the body has seen. Across the 1987 board game, the 2005 revival, the 2016 living card game, and the current 2026 line, the same promise survives. Learn enough about the world beneath the world to act before knowledge becomes its own cost. This first volume is the history file. The literary ingredients, imaginary geography, story structures, product lineage, and design breakthrough that made Arkham a setting people do not merely visit, but repeatedly reconstruct on a table. It separates documented history from convenient fandom shorthand and treats canon as a cabinet of overlapping case files, not one clean chronology. Volume II is the expert table manual. Read this volume when you want the world to make sense. Open the second when you want your next action to make sense. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. Why has Arkham Horror lasted nearly 40 years? Arkham Horror has lasted because its theme and mechanisms keep making the same argument in different forms. The world becomes more dangerous as it becomes more legible. In most adventure games, knowledge removes uncertainty. In Arkham, a clue may reveal the route forward while also proving that the route should not exist. The player becomes stronger and less comfortable at the same time. That is why clues, doom, gates, encounter cards, and scenario text feel related rather than decorative. They all regulate how much of the hidden system the table can perceive before time closes the case. The best Arkham sessions are not simple victories over a creature. They are negotiations with incomplete understanding. What must we know? What can we leave unknown? And what cost can the campaign absorb? This is also why the setting survives changes of medium. The board games make the city a network under stress. Mansions of Madness makes the room itself conceal information. The RPG gives a human keeper custody of the secret. The LCG gives the secret to cards that alter setup, locations, decks, and later chapters. Did Lovecraft invent cosmic horror or a tidy Cthulhu mythos? No, on both counts. Edgar Allan Poe, Arthur Machen, Algernon Blackwood, Lord Dunsany, and other writers supplied important ingredients before H.P. Lovecraft assembled his own mixture of forbidden scholarship, deep time, indifferent powers, altered heredity, and New England decay. His influence is enormous. Treating him as an isolated inventor makes the history smaller and less accurate. Lovecraft also did not use Cthulhu mythos as the formal name of a planned system. His correspondents sometimes used looser language such as the Arkham Cycle, while August Derleth popularized the later label and helped impose categories that readers now mistake for a canonical org chart. Great Old Ones, Outer Gods, Ancient Species, Cults, Books, and Dream Realms are useful reading aids. They are not a corporate reporting structure. The expert reading is therefore relational. Ask what a power does to scale, perception, memory, or human certainty. Cthulhu matters not because he occupies a precise rung above another entity, but because dreams, cult, sea, antiquity, and impossible survival all converge around him. The lack of a final map is part of the effect. A taxonomy is a lantern, not the sunrise. Use it to see the next step. Do not mistake it for the whole sky. What does the Necronomicon actually do in the mythos? The Necronomicon is fictional. Lovecraft planted it among real occult and historical titles so that an invented object could borrow the texture of a library catalogue. The first named reference appears in The Hound, while later stories, notes, and invented publication history made it feel as if a dangerous book had left fingerprints across several cases. Its deeper function is not a spellbook with the final answer. It makes knowledge material. A book can be found, stolen, translated badly, censored, miscatalogued, inherited, or opened by the wrong person. Once truth occupies an object, the story can ask who controls it and what happens when interpretation outruns judgment. Arkham's games translate that function beautifully. A clue is not merely a victory point, it is evidence that can open an act. Tomes occupy hands, actions, slots, and deck space. Campaign records turn reading into later setup instructions. The player does not consume lore outside the game. The act of learning changes the game state. Where are Arkham, Miskatonic, Dunwich, Innsmouth, Kingsport, and the Dreamlands? They are a fictional geography anchored to real New England texture. Arkham is the institutional threshold. Streets, hospitals, museums, libraries, boarding houses, and Miskatonic University make inquiry possible while quietly storing what inquiry should not release. The picture in the house, written in 1920 and published in 1921, is the early textual landmark for the town's name. Herbert Westry Animator develops Miskatonic and medical Arkham soon after. Dunwich turns fear toward isolated lineage and damaged countryside. Innsmouth ties secrecy to trade, inheritance, civic complicity, and the sea. Kingsport leans toward cliffside ritual, artists, old customs, and dreams. The dreamlands make perception itself a mode of travel. These are not interchangeable spooky suburbs. Each produces a different story pressure. At the table, geography becomes rule. A location card controls access, clues, movement, enemies, and sometimes what the scenario permits you to know. The map expands as the investigators understand it. That is a rare design achievement. Exposition and navigation become the same action, which Lovecraft stories became Arkham Horror's design grammar. The games work because they borrow structures from the fiction, not merely famous names. The Call of Cthulhu assembles one impossible case from a dead professor's papers, a police account, an artist's dreams, and a sailor's testimony. Arkham turns that fragmented proof into clues, acts, locations, campaign records, and investigators who rarely possess the whole explanation at once. The Dunwich Horror binds scholarship to a hostile rural map. Libraries, farms, hills, family records, and an unseen threat become the logic behind moving through locations while the agenda advances elsewhere. The shadow over Innsmouth makes an entire town function as a conspiracy, with civic silence and a revelation about identity arriving together. That pressure survives in hidden setup text, delayed campaign log consequences, and locations whose meaning changes after the investigators understand the people around them. The Dreams in the Witch House treats mathematics, architecture, and dream as one unstable spatial system. Arkham scenarios answer by breaking normal adjacency, action, and location rules at exactly the moment the table thinks it understands them. The Color Out of Space makes a place itself the antagonist and lets contamination remain after the immediate event. Damage, horror, trauma, doom, weaknesses, and persistent chaos tokens perform the same work across a campaign. At the Mountains of Madness begins as an expedition of equipment, weather, scholarship, and logistics, then turns discovery into a reason to retreat. That is the mature Arkham decision, not can we defeat everything, but what must we learn, what can we save, and when is leaving the winning move? Other stories deepen the engine. The Thing on the Doorstep makes identity and testimony unreliable. The Whisperer in Darkness turns correspondence into an evidentiary trap. Pickman's model asks whether art is representation or witness. The LCG translates all three into treacheries, weaknesses, story assets, hidden information, and cards whose rules make the narrator's uncertainty playable. The monsters are the easiest material to copy. Arkham became great by copying the harder thing: how a document changes a map, how a map changes a theory, and how a theory changes the person holding it. Read a scenario the way these stories teach you to read a case. Separate what the table knows, what one investigator knows, and what the campaign is quietly recording for later. What was the original 1987 Arkham Horror board game? Richard Launius developed the original Arkham Horror, published by Chaosium in 1987. It was a cooperative game of investigators moving through Arkham, gathering clues and equipment, closing gates, and trying to prevent an ancient one from overwhelming the city. Its graphic and production language belongs unmistakably to its decade, but the conceptual skeleton is remarkably recognizable. That first box matters because cooperation was not merely a convenience. The city was too broad, threats too distributed, and investigators too uneven for one character to solve every problem. A librarian, professor, drifter, or fighter could contribute differently. Arkham became a network of jobs and emergencies rather than a single hero's corridor. Original boxes and complete component sets are now historical objects, not the recommended entry point. Buy them as design history if provenance and condition matter to you. New players should choose a current system by the experience they want, not pay collector prices to reenact 1987 logistics. How did the 2005 Fantasy Flight Edition change modern hobby gaming? Fantasy Flight Games revived Arkham Horror in 2005 and turned the city into a sprawling modern hobby production. A larger board, abundant cards, many investigators, variable ancient ones, and a parade of emergent stories. Its expansions made the cabinet wider still. For many players, this was the box that proved cooperative games could generate anecdotes with the density of role-playing sessions. Its excess was both power and warning. Setup grew, decks multiplied, turns slowed, and the city could ask a group to manage more subsystems than tension. Yet the experience trained an audience to love recurring investigators and to expect a scenario to feel authored even when much of its drama emerged from interacting decks. That lineage runs through Eldritch Horror's global travel, Mansions of Madness 2nd edition's app-guided rooms, Arkham Horror 3rd edition's modular districts and scenario archive, and the Arkham Horror RPG's open investigation. They share a cabinet, not one rules engine. Why was the 2016 Living Card game the design breakthrough? During the game's 2016 unveiling, designers Nate French and Matthew Newman summarized the central idea with unusual precision. Your deck is your character. An investigator is not only a portrait and stat line. Assets reveal preparation, skills reveal habits, events reveal improvisation, weaknesses reveal the story the deck cannot escape, and upgrades reveal what the campaign has taught. The LCG format uses fixed contents rather than random booster collation. That distinction matters historically and financially. Expansion remains extensive, but the player buys known cards and scenarios rather than gambling for deck necessities. Campaigns then convert those cards into continuity through experience, trauma, story assets, recorded choices, and altered setup. The real breakthrough is that narrative and optimization stop being opponents. Spending XP is character development expressed as deck construction. A card removed from a deck can represent growth as clearly as a card added. The best deck is not merely efficient, it makes the investigator's methods visible. A deck list is not a personality until you can explain what the investigator does on a bad turn. Identity lives in the recovery plan. What counts as Arkham Horror canon in 2026? Arkham is best treated as overlapping continuity. Investigators, institutions, places, monsters, and motifs recur across the board games, card game, app-guided game, novels, and RPG, but events do not need to assemble into one contradiction-free timeline. The same investigator can arrive with a familiar biography and encounter a different version of the city's crisis. This is a strength. Each system can ask what its medium does best. Third edition can make districts rupture. Mansions can let an app remember which door is locked. The RPG can let a keeper improvise motives. The LCG can make a campaign note reappear as a setup instruction 6 sessions later. The practical rule is simple. Treat published scenario text and campaign records as canonical for the table currently playing them. Treat recurring biographies as character anchors. Treat cross-system connections as resonances, not court evidence that every event must share one master calendar. Where should a new player enter Arkham Horror in 2026? Choose the kind of hidden information you want. Buy the current Chapter 2 core for deck-built campaign drama and the present LCG release path. Keep a revised core if you already own it and want the deep Chapter 1 campaign library. Choose 3rd edition when the group wants a single-box cooperative city board. Choose Mansions of Madness 2nd edition when an app-guided cinematic mystery is the draw. Choose the RPG when a human keeper and open investigation are worth preparation. Do not begin by buying breadth. One foundation plus one completed experience teaches more than a shelf of mismatched nouns. In the LCG, that means the correct core, the included campaign, and only then one player card or campaign purchase that answers a named need. Continue with Volume II, the machine that remembers for the expert play system, or open the 2026 Ultra Guide for the complete buying, setup, campaign and rules cabinet. Yumi's sealed file verdict. Chapter 2 Core versus Revised Core. A brand new player in 2026 should buy the Chapter 2 Core set. An owner of Revised Core should keep it. These are two complete foundations for two release chapters, not a base game and a mandatory upgrade. Both support 1-4 players, include 5 investigators, fixed player cards, a 3-scenario campaign, chaos tokens, resource damage horror clue doom tokens, a chaos bag, and the rules needed to begin. They differ in investigators, story, card pool, organization, campaign compatibility, and which future shelf they lead toward. Chapter 2 Core contains Daniela Reyes, Joe Diamond, Trish Scarborough, Dexter Drake and Isabel Barnes. Its Brethren of Ash campaign includes Spreading Flames, Smoke and Mirrors, and Queen of Ash. The box contains 224 player cards, 133 scenario cards, 44 chaos tokens, 51 resource tokens, 38 damage tokens, 24 horror tokens, 41 clue doom tokens, 5 investigator cards, 5 mini cards, 5 full investigator tokens, 20 map connectors, a lead investigator token, and a chaos bag. 9 sorted packs let all 5 starter decks be built at once. Its 48-page rulebook combines onboarding, universal setup, deck building, campaign play, and an abridged grimoire into one current reference. Revised core contains Roland Banks, Daisy Walker, Skids, O'Toole, Agnes Baker, and Wendy Adams. Its Night of the Zealot campaign includes The Gathering, The Midnight Masks, and The Devourer Below. It contains 245 player cards, 111 scenario cards, 44 chaos tokens, 61 resource tokens, 40 damage tokens, 27 horror tokens, 57 clue doom tokens, 5 investigator cards, 5 mini cards, a lead investigator token, and a chaos bag. It improved the original 2016 core by supplying full playsets, enough material for up to 4 players, better organization, and selected higher level cards from early expansions. The compatibility rule is the important fine print. Player cards remain broadly compatible, but older Chapter 1 campaigns were written around encounter sets from the original revised core. Chapter 2's grimoire provides official substitutions where supported. It does not magically make every old campaign independent of its original foundation. Chapter 2 is the current evergreen line. Revised core is the deliberate Chapter 1 legacy doorway. Do not buy both on day one, and do not let a marketplace title convince you that Chapter 2 means a second edition. Yumi's full Arkham Deconfusion guide translates every other shelf noun, campaign expansion, investigator expansion, investigator deck, scenario pack, small campaign, old deluxe, mythos pack, and return to, then gives 4 exact buying paths without an orphaned product. If the listing says original core, old deluxe, or one mythos pack, pause. A low price on one incomplete piece is not a beginner bargain. Final verdict. The definitive way into Arkham is to understand the contract before buying the cabinet. The setting is not a monster encyclopedia, and the card game is not a collectible lottery. Both are machines for partial knowledge, pressured choice, and consequences that survive the scene. Start with the current Chapter 2 core if you are new, keep revised core if you already own it, and let the history explain why every successful Arkham design makes information useful, dangerous, and incomplete. Frequently asked questions. When was the original Arkham horror board game published? Chaosium published Richard Lornius's original Arkham horror board game in 1987. When did Fantasy Flight Games revive Arkham horror? Fantasy Flight Games released its major second edition in 2000, and 5 and Arkham Horror 3rd edition in 2018. When was Arkham Horror, the card game, first released? Fantasy Flight unveiled and released the cooperative living card game in 2016, designed around the idea that your deck expresses your investigator. Did H.P. Lovecraft call his setting the Cthulhu Mythos? Number Lovecraft did not formalize that name or a tidy hierarchy. August Derleth popularized the Cthulhu Mythos label later. Is the Necronomicon a real historical book? Number it is Lovecraft's fictional grimoire, made convincing by placing it among real books and inventing a publication history. Is Arkham, Massachusetts, a real town? Number Arkham is fictional, though it borrows the geography and institutional texture of New England. Are all Arkham Files games in one strict canon? Number they share investigators, places, threats, and themes, but work best as overlapping continuities rather than one contradiction-free timeline. Which Arkham horror game is best for beginners in 2026? Choose Chapter 2 core for the current card game path, 3rd edition for a cooperative city board, Mansions of Madness for app-guided mystery, or the RPG for open investigation with a keeper. Does Chapter 2 make revised core obsolete? Number revised core remains the complete Chapter 1 foundation. Chapter 2 is the current evergreen foundation with different investigators, cards, components, and the Brethren of Ash campaign. New players start with Chapter 2, revised owners keep their box. Why is Arkham Horror still popular? It consistently makes investigation mechanical. Information changes locations, objectives, decks, risk, and later campaign states instead of existing only as flavor text.